and welcome. We've got big turnout tonight, more than we normally have. Nice to see all the faces and the new faces. We usually begin by talking a little bit about the planets and what's going on. So we can do that. Just outside on the table, there's these pages. We don't need them for right now, but you might want to pick one up on your way out. This is a planetary planner that I prepare, monthly planetary planner. It's actually on the website as well. And it tells you the best days of the month. Gold days, silver days, bronze days, and gray days. That's what I used. Real simple system. Everybody kind of knows what that means anyway. And this is not your personal horoscope. It doesn't work like that. This is just where the planets are in the sky and in general how favorable things will be at that time. Like today, for example, the 2nd of February it's calculated for different regions. This is calculated for Ireland and the UK. Today, it says Tuesday the 2nd, it goes from bronze to gray at 3:52 a.m. Moon with Saturn. When it's a gray day, it's a difficult or potentially difficult time. So you don't want to plan important work and business and events on gray days if you can avoid it. Bronze days are average. They're okay. Silver days and gold days are really good, especially gold days. So if you have to sign a contract or if you're going for a job interview, if you have some control over what you're going to do, you're starting some big project, you want to go for the gold days and the silver days if at all possible. This is also on the website, so it's available. And it's for different regions throughout the world. We do about 5 regions, and if your region isn't there, you can calculate the hours to see the difference. It goes on the 11th, it goes from gray to silver, and then you've got 3 days of silver, 2.5 days. On the 14th and the 15th and the 16th, you've got double gold. Very rare you get double gold. You get gold, but double gold is fantastic. And that's what you've got 14th, 15th, 16th of February. So if you're planning on doing something and you've been holding off.
Valentine's Day.
14th. Yeah. Yeah. It's a good day to renew your Valentine's vow. With the person of your choice, Orla.
Okay. The mirror.
The mirror. With the self is good as well. You know, it's a good thing. So you might take advantage of that. Anyway, those are there for you. We had a couple of eclipses. December 31st, New Year's Eve, and then we had another one again on the 15th of January. I've written about one of them on the website. I didn't get around to the second, but eclipses, generally speaking, are negative events, not positive. Whenever one of the lights, the sun or the moon, becomes eclipsed by a shadow, it's not a good thing, and it creates various kinds of havoc and difficulty in the world. Do you remember what was the thing we had predicted on the that first eclipse? Oh. No. And what you will also notice is earthquakes will often appear right around the full moon or the new moon. And the Haiti thing was... When was the Haiti thing? The date?
2 weeks.
Yeah, the new moon. Would have been around the new moon. Yeah. Okay. Well, they normally take place around that time. Anyway, one of the things that the eclipse on the 31st indicated was that thieves, robbers, dacoits, criminals would be brought down as a result of the influence of that particular eclipse, the moon's constellation, the constellation that the moon was in at that time. And they, shortly thereafter, days after, they arrested some major Colombian drug cartel guy, big guy, that they've been after for years and years and years, you know. So that was one of the things that happened as a result of that. I mean, that's a good thing. But generally, eclipses can be unfavorable. Okay. There's, apart from the usual things, the movements in the sky, there's not a really big event that's happening in the immediate future. So let's talk about a little bit of yoga philosophy and understanding. We speak about different things here for those of you. There's a lot of you here that haven't been here before. But for the most part, our orientation here is Eastern philosophy, yoga philosophy, and the yoga system. When we talk about yoga, most people think that we should be throwing the mat out and doing various kinds of postures. That's only one kind of yoga. There are many kinds of yoga. And yoga, as you know, means to link with the Supreme, to make your will, bring it in harmony with divine will. That's the purpose of yoga. It's a union. It's a higher union. I've studied many philosophies, pretty much the major ones throughout the world, and major religions. And the Vedic system or the yoga system, at least for me, has been the most comprehensive and effective. I haven't found anything that covers as much ground or explains as much as the yoga system does. When I was 13, being raised Catholic, like most of you, I had some philosophical questions that I asked the priest. And he told me, "Well, son, that's a mystery of the faith. And there's no way to answer that." And I said nothing, but quietly I thought, "Well, that might be a mystery to you, Father. But it's not going to be a mystery to me." So more or less, even at that time, before I really truly woke up, I knew that there were answers to these questions. I just felt it. In Vedic philosophy, our conception of God is not strictly male. There's no such thing as God the Father without God the Mother. It doesn't exist. So that's why God is always depicted in male and female form. The energetic and the energy. The male is often called the energetic or source of energy, and the female is called the energy itself. That's one way to describe it. So there are many manifestations of God. God is one. But there are many manifestations. Well, how can there be many? Well, because God's unlimited. So there can be many. And then he uses different names and forms to accomplish different objectives. Now, he uses different forms. You here down on Earth may put on a different costume to accomplish different objectives. If you go to play tennis, you dress for tennis. If you go riding, you dress for riding. If you are one of the bicycle speedsters, that comes up and down our road here, then you dress as a bicycle person. But God just doesn't change his clothes, he changes the entire form. That's the difference between us and God. So one of the forms of God according to the Vedic system is Krishna. And that's Krishna in the middle with the flute. And that's his love consort, Radha, standing next to him. And Krishna is really the embodiment of God in the form of love, the highest manifestation of love. I think it's reasonable to conclude that any religion, ultimately the objective is what? Is to learn to love. And if it's something different than that, then I'd be suspicious if I were you. But it is to learn to love everybody, all inclusive, unconditionally. So this is the highest manifestation of a relationship, of a loving relationship, that I've found. So you can worship God in any form you like, but this one works pretty effectively. On the left we have Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. On the right we have Lakshmi and Vishnu. Vishnu is yet another form of God who's all pervasive. You see him as a four-armed form, and Lakshmi there, his consort, the goddess of fortune. We've talked about this on many occasions. Fortune or wealth is one of the opulences or one of the attributes of God. Wealth is not a negative thing. Wealth and money is not the root of all evil. It depends. It's energy. It's how you use it. So God's wife or consort is the goddess of fortune. Well, who's the wealthiest person in the universe? Be God. So wealth is not something to be looked down upon. It's not something to be worshipped, on the other hand, either. But one shouldn't have a negative attitude around wealth. So the key approach in yoga understanding is to do things not simply for the self and for the satisfaction of the self. If we do that, then we are ego-driven. We are motivated by ego. And anything we do for ourselves, good, bad, or sideways, will provide a reaction, some kind of reaction. If you do good things, you will get a good reaction. And of course, it is in keeping with yoga philosophy that reincarnation is accepted as a reality. So if you generate good karma, you will come back in the next life and enjoy the fruits of that karma. And you might say, well, that's a good deal. Why is that a bad thing? Because you have to come back. If you do negative acts or hurtful things, then you will come back in the next life and suffer the results of that karma. Most of us will get mixed results in our lifetime. You're going to have your good days, you're going to have your bad days, you're going to have some good breaks, some luck, some fortune, and you probably have some misery mixed in. And that's the result of past work and past action. And people, when they have misfortune in life and they look up at the sky and they go, why you? After all I've done for you and you're doing this for me. No. God's not doing anything to you or against you. You've set it all into motion. What goes around comes around. We all know this. Everybody believes that. you reap what you sow. But it's hard for a lot of people to grasp that it can take place over a period of lifetimes. How do we know that this is not our ultimate destination? Why isn't this the be-all and end-all? Because no matter what you do and how wonderful things might be for you here, the ultimate goal is death. Everybody dies. You lose. Everything and everybody, you lose by the time you're through. That's how it works. So you don't want suffering. You get suffering. The soul does not want to suffer. The soul does not want disease. We get disease. The soul doesn't want to grow old. We age. The soul doesn't want to die. We die. That is proof positive that this isn't our ultimate destination. So, on the wheel of karma, the old hamster wheel that goes round and round, these things will never end as long as you keep generating karma. Why do you keep generating karma? Because you think that everything is being done by you. You're in ego consciousness. It's all about me. I make things happen. I control things. I'm the center of the universe. So you have a certain amount of freedom. You have free will. So you do control a certain amount of things. Sort of. But to a limited extent. All kinds of things happen that you don't want to happen also. So the ultimate goal is not to generate good karma, but it's to generate no karma. Anything you do out of ego will generate karma, whether it's good or bad. It'll generate good karma or negative karma. And you'll come back and you'll experience that karma. Anything you do whereby you offer it to God first and you do it for God, and it doesn't mean that you can't enjoy it or you can't experience it in a good way. You can. But when you do it for God, in that sense, you let go of the fruits of the labor. Most people do the work for the fruit, not for the work. But you know yourself, when you do the work for the sake of the work, to the best of your ability, when you love the work and you're not attached to the fruits, isn't that when your work is the best? Isn't that when you do the best work? We can't control the fruits. You may have started a business, and you may have done the best that you can in the business, but maybe the business failed in the past year. So even though you might have done a good job, still, it didn't work because we had the economic meltdown. So there are things we cannot control. So we do our work, we do all of our activities, no matter how small, how insignificant, to the best of our ability. That's all that we can control. Then, what were you telling me today, Katrina, about your day?
It goes much more effortlessly than hand daily. If you say, instead of saying, well, what would I like to say, or a black list of things I want to accomplish, you just go, well, if I serve everything up to you, God, and you can let me know what you want me to do for you.
Right.
And then you're not kind of looking for the outcome of what you do.
And you had one of the best days today. Because she tried out this little system and it worked for her. When you give up control or the need to control and you can remain detached, sometimes you'll get what you want. Oftentimes you won't. Or you won't now. It might come in future. But you must always remain balanced, detached, in a state of equilibrium. No high highs. If you do high highs, they'll want you on the game shows. They love that sort of thing. If you can bounce off the ceiling and scream and yell, you'll make a great contestant on a game show. But after mania comes depression. Manic, depressive. High highs automatically bring low lows. How can it be otherwise? It can't. Does that mean you shouldn't enjoy your success? You can enjoy your success like this. Can we go out and have a little toast? Yeah, we can have a little toast. Can I scream? No. You can smile. So no high highs. Take it all in stride. Will that make life dull and boring? No. No. It won't. It'll bring peace and clarity. There are three energies in this world, according to yoga philosophy. There's God energy on this side. There's matter or material energy on this side. And right in the middle is us, living beings, living entities. There are two essential, well, maybe I'll tell you about this in a minute. Anyway, matter is what? Matter. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. The whole creation is made up of these elements in a myriad of forms. Right? It's matter. Matter is dense, it's thick, it's unconscious. Right? So God expands himself into parts and parcels, like drops of water from the ocean, like sparks coming off of a fire. That's us. We're the little sparkers. Now, if we as little sparks stay connected to the fire and identified with the fire, then we will stay in our spiritual consciousness and we will retain our spiritual identity. We will be identified with our source. Simple enough. But because we entities are called the marginal potency, so we're on the edge, on the margin, we can either identify with our spiritual nature, our God-like identity, or we can identify with matter. And what happens when the spark flies off the fire and lands on the earth? It goes out. In other words, it loses its light. It loses its spiritual identity. And sooner or later, dies. And then it takes birth again from the fire and dies. And takes birth again and dies. And takes birth again. You know, how long do you want to go? How many lifetimes do you get? As many as you need. As many as you need. There's no limit. Until you learn. Until you begin to understand who you really are by nature. A divine being. A soul. You're eternal. If you're eternal, why are you dying? Right. I like to use this example. When you teach a child to walk, as many of us have done, get the little hands there and you help him along, get the feet going. And just when he's got it, you think he's got it, you let go. He takes another step and crash. Down he goes. And what do you say when he does that? You say, oh, great, good. Oh, he did wonderfully. What do you mean he did wonderfully? He just fell. You encourage him. Because he tried. He did the best he could. And this is what you do. And on and on and on. And one day, he walks. He learns to walk. Same is true for God and us. So when does God say, oh, you're never going to learn how to walk. Just crawl around. Never. You take as many opportunities as you need. That's called unlimited mercy. Unlimited love. So, the entities are the sparks. Without spirit being present, there's no life. What's the difference between a live body and a dead body? It's the spirit. Because all the parts are there, all the organs are there, right? Everything's there that was there a moment ago. But something's missing. A moment ago, that person was, in your mind, the most beautiful person. You absolutely loved this person. They were your lover or your mother or your child or your grandfather, whatever. And now the soul has left the body. Now what do you feel about that body? You know, a final kiss and okay. Removal. Why? It's the person you loved. Because the soul is gone. So the soul is the attractive part. Nothing grows without the presence of spirit. Matter cannot be animated without spirit. Spirit is essential. So, what we need to do is to recapture our spiritual identity and try to live with that concept daily in our lives. We can do this by meditation, by prayer, by reading, by practice of yoga. There's so many different ways to do it. We can do it by giving charity. Charity is a nice thing to do as well. Or acts of kindness. Many different ways can be done. But it's essential to maintain our consciousness about what our true identity is. Okay. Does anybody have any examples recently in their life of a spiritual connection that was made for you, or a dream, or a realization, or a revelation, or an epiphany? Anybody can share a recent one with us? Signs. Omens? Do you follow omens and signs?
White feathers.
White feathers.
That's my thing.
Yeah, white feathers. Yeah, tell them what white feathers mean.
Well, I believe in our guardian angels.
Okay. In the American Indian tradition, if you find a white feather in the path in front of you, it means the gods are opening the doors for you and clearing your path. So, white feathers, yeah, seen different traditions. white feathers are recognized. So that's a good omen. Anybody else? Come on now. Be shy. Share your stories. Well, I had one recently. A week ago, Kalindi and I went for a ride on the horses down at Britis on the beach. First time we went down to the beach. And I hadn't ridden for 2 months. So we rode for a little while, and then we were going to leave the beach. And just as we were ready to leave the beach and go back up the little path, a dog flew over the hill out of nowhere onto the beach. My horse spooked, immediately went that way, and I fell hard. And I lay there for a while. And I broke my tailbone. And it's broken as I sit here. So, because astrologically, for those of you who are somewhat familiar with your birth chart, I'm in a double period of Rahu, which can be somewhat challenging. So I thought, you know, about a year ago when I went into the period, that the likelihood for me in this period is going to be an accident, an injury, or a disease, some kind of correction. Good luck in avoiding it entirely. And anyway, Kalindi gathered up the horses, grabbed the reins, and told me not to make so much noise. I was moaning too loud. I was scaring the horses.
Good on you.
Yeah. If you're going to suffer, suffer silently.
My parents are convinced that I'm trying to kill them all.
So, anyway, I made it back up the hill and then walked a mile back to the vehicle. Uphill, steep hill. And then we came home, and I wasn't sure that it was broken, so I waited 2 days. And then I woke up one morning, and I said, yeah, it's broken. So we went to the hospital to get an x-ray. Got the x-ray, and I'm sitting waiting for the doctor to come with the result in the little, you know, curtain cubicle. And I remembered then that I had thought a year or so ago that perhaps if there was an accident or an injury, it would be a catalyst to open something up, to release something, to move something forward. And I was thinking about that, and here's base chakra. Sacrum is base chakra. So it's your orientation from birth. How did you root yourself in the earth when you came out of the womb? Right? Well, when I came out of the womb, I immediately was taken from my mother to an orphanage. So that's how my rooting took place. And probably a lot of pain and a certain amount of anger would have happened at that time, reasonably. And now my root just got busted. So maybe it's time to reroot or change the rooting system. So the doctor comes in and he says, oh, you broke it all right. I said, what is it, a hairline fracture? He said, no, you bent it all forward. I said, okay. And there's nothing you can do, you know. You don't see me in a cast here. And 5 minutes later, we went downstairs to the pharmacy to get the anti-inflammatories, you know, whatever he had prescribed. And right outside the pharmacy, I'm thinking about what hand does God have in all this? Does this have, for me, a spiritual connection?
And
this was outside the pharmacy.
The beacon,
yeah.
There's a donkey.
A donkey in whose world? That's a cow. Come on in, Antonio. Over here, buddy. Right here. Is there? I don't know. There you go. There you go, buddy. There you go. Squeeze it. So there's the cow, and you know this is Krishna's favorite animal, and on the cow is Om. So that was 5 minutes after the diagnosis. And that's me in pain, standing next to it. So that happened a few days ago. So we'll have to see how it all unfolds. And I hope it heals. That's my greatest hope. And my writing days are over now. I don't think for a little while. What?
The fox ran in front of you the last time.
Yeah. That's my third big fall, so. Okay, so anybody else?
I had a fall today as well. I haven't figured out quite what it means yet, but I was crossing to Lear Street and a guy on a bicycle came flying over. And luckily the bicycle didn't hit me, it was the actual guy. It was a real shock to the body.
Accidents, yeah, it's a big shock. Accidents or injuries release anger because it's the fire element. Accidents or injuries, generally you'll find Mars involved, astrologically speaking. So it's the fire element. Mars or K2, and sometimes Saturn. And it's a big release where you can get rid of a lot of it all at once. And you may or may not be aware of it. What I often ask people, clients of mine, when they have an accident or an injury, I say, what was going on in your life in the last week or two? And was there a buildup of anger or frustration or resentment? I look at myself in the past couple of weeks, that really wasn't there. But that doesn't mean it wasn't there from before. You know. So it's fire, you know, and it's volcanic and it's eruptive and it's sudden, it's quick, it's unexpected. It's better not to get mowed down by a bike or to break your tailbone. It's better to do these things in a more gentle manner, but sometimes we don't do that. Okay. Any questions about what we've been speaking about? Then let us turn to this mantra, Mahamrityunjaya mantra. And we'll discuss that. Colette, do you get one? Markandeya? Markandeya knows this one anyway. Colette, you know this one too, I think. Patrick? Now, in yoga philosophy, you've got Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. These are the personifications of the three forces in our world. What are the three forces in our world? Anybody know?
Creation, destruction, balance, loss.
Creation, destruction, and
preservation.
Conservation, preservation, maintenance. Things come into being, creation. They remain for a time, preservation. They die. They dwindle and die. Destruction. Srishti, creation. Stiti, maintenance. And pralaya, destruction in Sanskrit. So, what I like about Vedic understanding is they don't just talk about forces, they talk about the personalities behind them. And Brahma is the guy in charge of creation and creates the diversity in the universe as it's explained in yoga philosophy. Vishnu on the right, who's the highest manifestation of God, maintains everything. And that's who you would normally pray to. You know, this would be God in anybody's conception. You would just call him Allah, or you would call him Jehovah, or Yahweh, or Vishnu. And Shiva is the guy in charge of destruction or bringing an end to things. All of these are very important in our world. Not in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, there is no creation. There's only eternity. There is no destruction. Nothing dies. There's only eternal existence. So these things don't happen in the spiritual realm. There's no past, present, and future in the spiritual realm. Only here. All right. So, Shiva's day is coming up. Shiva is not, don't think of him as a negative force because he's in charge of destruction. He's not the god of death. He's not the Grim Reaper. He's just in charge of bringing things to a close. But he's also known to be a very renounced yogi who spends pretty much all of his time in meditation, meditating on Vishnu, on God. So he's a very high being. He's also a mystic. And the third eye is open. When your third eye is open, you can see what? Clairvoyance, clairaudience, past, present, future, all of these different things. So people who are serious yogis, practitioners of yoga, and if they want certain mystic powers that yoga can give, they generally worship Shiva. So if Shiva is the guy who's in charge of destruction, then if you want to prevent destruction and prevent death, you might talk to him about that. And that's what this mantra is. Now, usually I give mantras that are very short and sweet. This is not short and sweet. This is one of the longer ones. So, you're here on the night. Shiva's, they call it Shiva Ratri. The night of Shiva is coming on the 12th. Of February this year. And this mantra is a very powerful mantra. It's very well known, widely known, and widely chanted. If you want to stave off death, or if you want to protect yourself from death and destruction, or protect others, then this is one of the mantras that is highly recommended.
Illness and accidents.
Yep. So as I said down here at the bottom, the Mahamrityunjaya mantra is a life-giving mantra. This mantra wards off death by snake bite, lightning, fire, drowning, car accidents, bicycle accidents, and plane crashes, and accidents of all descriptions. Well, neither Ann nor I died. So here we are. It also has a great curative effect. Diseases pronounced incurable by doctors can be cured by this mantra when chanted with sincerity, faith, and devotion. To be effective, it should be chanted about 100,000 times. Well, that's called doing the austerity, doing the penance, so to speak. Remember, I shouldn't say remember, but I have to say it like that because I don't go to confession anymore. They would give you 5 Our Fathers, 5 Hail Marys, and, you know, you'd be out of there in 10 minutes. You didn't even get that much, did you? She got one glory be. So, you know, it's about taking the time and the trouble and making the effort. That's what it's about. It is a weapon against disease and a mantra to conquer death. It also bestows long life, peace, wealth, prosperity, happiness, and immortality. So, I know for many of you, Sanskrit is unfamiliar. The first mantra, the 4 lines, is the way it would be written with the diacritical markings. And the mantra underneath it, again, is without the diacritics. You might want to read that second one. It might be, I tried to make it more, what's the word? Phonetical. Yeah, phonetic. That's it. So let me, Om Triambakam Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushti Vardhanam Urvarukam Iva Vandanan Mrityor Mukshya Mam Retat. So I'll do the first line twice and then we can do it. Om Triambakam Yajamahe. Om Triambakam Yajamahe. Together. Om Triambakam Yajamahe. Again. Om Triambakam Yajamahe. Om Triambakam Yajamahe. Om Triambakam Yajamahe. Okay. I'll do the next one a couple times. Sugandhim Pushti Vardhanam. Sugandhim Pushti Vardhanam. All of us. Sugandhim Pushti Vardhanam. Sugandhim Pushti Vardhanam. Sugandhim Pushti Vardhanam. Okay. Next one I'll do. Urvarukam Iva Bandhanan. Urvarukam Iva Bandhanan. Together. Urvarukam Iva Bandhanan. Urvarukam Iva Bandhanan. Now I'll do the last line. Mrityor Mukshya Mam Ratat. Mrityor Mukshya Mam Ratat. Mrityor Mukshya Mam Ritat. Okay, let's do all 4. I'll do first line, and you do the first line. I'll do the second line, and you do the second one. Om Triambakam Yajamahe. Together. Om Triambakam Yajamahe. Sugandhim Pushti Vardhanam. Sugandhim Pushti Vardhanam. Urvarukam iva bandhanan. Urvarukam iva bandhanan. Mrityor mukshiya mam ritat. Mrityor mukshiya mam ritat. Okay, let's do the whole thing together. Om Triambakam Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushtivardhanam Urvarukam Iva Bandhanan Mrityor Mukshiyamam Pritat Om Triambakam Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushtivardhanam Urvarukam Iva Bandhanan Mrityor mukshiyamam pritat Om Triambakam Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushtivardhanam Urvarukam Iva Bandhanan Mrityor mukshiyamam pritat Om Triambakam Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushtivardhanam Urvarukam iva bandhanan Mrityor mukshiyamam pritat. Okay. Go ahead. Tell them what
they do in Shivaratri.
Oh. Shivaratri, they stay up all night. You fast all day from sunrise. And they chant mantras and do prayers and songs and meditate and read about the pastimes of Shiva. Then they stay up all night till the next morning. It's like 24 hours. In Vedic understanding, days begin at sunrise and they end the next sunrise. 12 midnight is an arbitrary demarcation. So they begin at sunrise, and the next day begins the next sunrise. That's how it's calculated.
So this is on the 12th?
Friday. On the Friday. So, I mean, that would be on February 12th if you want to take some time and work with this mantra and meditate on Shiva. And if you're keen on healing others, or you know, practicing healing, this is a very powerful mantra for that. Or if you want to lengthen your life, your lifespan.
Is there the Gayatri mantra has the rhythm? Is it similar?
Oh, this has a rhythm.
Yeah.
Om Triambakam Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushtivardhanam Rvarukam Iva Bandhanan Mrityor Mukshiyamamritat. Yeah, this is in meter. So you can work with that. Okay. We'll move on to the meditation part of our evening. I thought we'd do a meditation tonight on the earth. It seems like our earth is very troubled these days. Well, let's recap what's been happening. Well, most of Cork was flooded. I think Clare, Mayo, I know I'm missing some spots.
Galway.
Longford. Midlands. And we've had this earthquake in Haiti. Very, very devastating. Who knows how many people it killed? 600,000, they're guessing. The weather patterns are, as predicted, have been really out of sync. And after the weather we've had here for the 3 weeks, you know, Kalindi and I were teasing, it's more like global freezing than and global warming coming in our direction. But so in our meditation, I'm going to suggest we meditate on Mother Earth. Now, if you want to envision her as the planet, you can, but I want you to envision her as the goddess, because that's what she is. Mother Earth is depicted in many forms as a goddess in the Vedic understanding. And she's called Bhumi, B-H-U-M-I, Earth. And sometimes she takes the form of a cow, because a cow is a mother figure. The earth is our mother, the cow is our mother, because from the cow we get milk in infancy. So that's why the cow is sacred in India, because of that. And anyway, you can meditate on her as the goddess, or better yet, however she appears to you in the meditation. So we're going to ask her when she appears. We're doing this individually, and I'll take you through the meditation. What is it she needs? What does she want us to do? Or, more specifically, what does she want you to do to help her? Because she needs help. She clearly needs help. She's not happy, or all this stuff wouldn't be going on. These are reactions of various kinds. Life is meant to be lived peacefully and productively. If people are not being enabled to live peacefully and productively, there's a problem. And if there's a problem, there's a cause. So we're going to ask Mother Earth in our meditation, what's the problem and what's the cause, and more importantly, what's the solution? Okay? Turn on the jukebox. Close your eyes. Breathe. Relax. And let go. Deeply, deeply relax. Breathe and let go. Allow the stress, tension, fear, and apprehension to drain from your body. Totally, completely relax, breathe and let go. Deeply, deeply relax. Envision high above you, coming down from the heavens, a beautiful beam of radiant pearl white light. Coming down, down, all the way down, entering through the top of your head, expanding throughout your head, torso, arms and legs, out the bottom of your feet, into the earth below. Breathe, relax, and let go. See and feel yourself connected to the heavens above and grounded in the earth below. Relax. Let go. All right. You're in a beautiful place in nature. Allow that to appear in your mind's eye. If you can't see it, feel it. A beautiful place in nature. Then appearing in front of you or walking into the picture is Mother Earth. What form does she appear to you as? In what form? Look at her. Get a good look. Look at her from head to toe and see her in as much detail as possible. How is she dressed? What is the expression on her face? What is her state of mind? How does she greet you? How do you greet her? Ask her how she's doing. What does she say? Ask her why there are so many difficulties now on Earth. What is the cause? What does she say? Ask her what you can do to help. What does she say? Are you willing to do it? Please continue with the meditation until you've finished all the steps. When you've finished, thank her. Embrace her if it is appropriate. And let her fade away. Return to consciousness, awakening, feeling refreshed, relaxed, and at peace. When you're ready, you can open your eyes. Okay. How many saw Mother Earth? How many didn't see her? Okay, pretty good. Who wants to share the story? Come on now, we're all dying to hear what she has to say. You know we are. Anybody?
I imagined I was in a forest and she was there. It was difficult to visualize her, but she was there. And she was lost and confused. I couldn't really communicate effectively because she seems to be pissed off. And kind of depressed. So that was about the extent of my communication.
She couldn't make any recommendations, what she needed?
Well, I didn't manage to.
Couldn't get that far with her. Okay, she's a little bit disillusioned.
Yeah, but I mean, that could be just myself being reflected in her.
It could be. Could also be her. Very good. Anybody else?
Yeah, she was actually a bit far away as well. I couldn't actually see her very clearly, but she was by it. She was over by a river, but her face was more, the expression was more weary than depressed. She was just tired and weary. She didn't say very much. The only thing that came to me, which could be to do with me as well, it was more that she said everything's going too fast. Mm. Or everybody's going too fast. This is tough to do.
But actually, I got what she said to slow down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Yeah, I got an old woman and in black, and she just looked really weary, and I got, it's like she was in mourning, and what she wanted, what she asked me to do was to play for her, like play music and to sing, and something about putting, blessing water and putting it on the earth or something.
Mm-hmm. So. Blessed water, holy water. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Anyone else?
I've met her at the forest as well. And it's very clear, right down to the goat shoes and triangles and everything. And when I asked her what was wrong, she said she was in turmoil. And I asked why. I said, I'm not in control anymore. It's all out of my hands. It's all been taken out of my hands. It's not like it used to be. And then the next question is, what can I do? And she said, well, you're just one person, so what your job is just to love everything from an insect to a leaf to a plant to a way of growing everything. If each person can just love, ask, well, is there anything that you want me to do? Just spread the love.
Yeah, well, that is the solution. Lovely.
She told me to do more recycling, so I am quite active in the recycling space, to the point that I'm making the workplace do the recycling.
Very good.
Yeah, and the recycling. But what she kind of meant was to actually not just recycle things, but actually buy recycled. So I do buy recycled, but kind of like buy secondhand clothes, and like buy from places that would recycle things. And she also kind of gave me the image of start picking up litter again, which I kind of faded a little bit on. But she looked very, was kind of at peace to me, but she kind of had a weariness in her eyes, kind of tiredness.
Yeah. For you, she gave very practical advice. Very good. Anybody else?
I kind of saw her like in a kind of forest or mountain, right? But she's like a very divine, like goddess, as she said. She has bangles and she has a mukut, you know, like a crown. And then I just touch her feet and got the blessings. And I just say that, you know, but she was okay. She was just a calm, like, you know, she said. And I say, what's that happening? And she said, that meant to happen. And then that's the willing of the God. And that's, you know, that's things, you know. That's meant to happen. Like, and I say, okay, then what I should do is just keep doing your good work, good karma. It's okay. And then I touch her feet. She wasn't sad. She was
so very accepting of what's going on.
So like, this is the way it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody else?
I got Angelina Jolie and the Downer. Not the way I wanted to meet her, not a good way to meet her. And the story is that the divide between the rich and the poor is too big, too great, and communication is the answer, and mindless philanthropy is a problem. It must be planting of seeds instead.
And adopt a baby.
No. 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 Not to me anyway.
That's good. That's good. Anybody else?
Yeah, I got her as she was actually a coloured lady, and yeah, she was a really, you know, a big, strong
Earth mama.
Yeah, she was really earthy, and like she had earth on her, like she was really carrying the everything, and she was just tired. And what came to me was that her resources are being depleted constantly. Like I got a ping of oil and stuff like that,
yeah,
and nothing's been given back. And she just asked me to sort of, like that, it was love, you know, and spread it and make people care for things again, like rather than just, you know, take everything away, like give back, you know, when you take as well.
I could only picture her, her upper part of the body. She had like long hair, and it's very beautiful, and the rest was kind of melting into the earth and to the landscape kind of thing. And she told me that she feels very restricted, and she can't really. Yeah, she was tired too. And she said I should focus on water, but don't really to clean, kind of. She's dirty and restricted.
Water, yeah, to purify. Very good. Okay.
She was tanned like me.
Darker
than you.
Much darker.
I generally go a little bit later. Tonight I won't. So I thank you all for coming.
Thank you. And thank you for putting on
your own. You are welcome for tea. And when you come and you bring things, which is nice, you don't have to bring anything. But people bring cake and bickies and all that's appreciated. But it also flowers for the gods. Is also nice to bring if you feel like bringing something. We offer everything. Everything here gets offered to God first and foremost. So thank you. We will reconvene here. I think it's March 3rd?
Second
again?
Yeah.
March 2nd, Tuesday. Thank you.
Thank you.
Om Tat Sat. Hare Krishna.